Please join with me in a prayer for illumination. God, we give thanks that you have given us your word. And we pray that as we open your word, what we hear are not just words written on a page, interesting tidbits of poetry and history, but in fact what we hear is your voice, your love, your will, your way. Attune our hearts, attune our ears to hear that, to let your word take hold of our hearts and lead us from this space as faithful followers of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned in the announcements, we are in a Back to the Basics series, certainly in our Sunday school, as well in worship, going back to the basics with some of these fundamental scriptures each week. And last week it was Isaiah 6, and we talked about back to the basics. When it comes to the Christian faith, it's about God. We explored that in Isaiah 6 last week. Today we explore Isaiah 55, back to the basics. It's about an invitation. Ho, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread, and your labor on that which does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me. Eat what is good and delight your soul in the richest of fare. Incline your ear to me. Listen. Come to me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. And surely you will summon nations you know not. Nations that do not know you will come running to you because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, he's endowed you with splendor. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. I was in St. Petersburg, Russia, with Michelle and her family about a dozen years ago. It was one of many stops on this particular cruise that we were doing. We're walking the local market there alongside our local guide from Russia, and the market is not unlike many markets in this world, full of people and vendors and booths. Over here, I got a deal for you. Special deal just today, just for you. Or sometimes, right, they'll come over, wear this, looks great, and now you owe me this much. Usually this scene stresses me out, all the voices and choices and deals. But oftentimes, there is something that does eventually catch my attention. In this case, it was a particular vendor who was selling a silver pocket watch originally used by the KGB. It was given to all those who served in the KGB. The historian in me was fascinated to think about how the spies used to carry these around. I wondered if any American spies had ever procured one. I asked our guide, the local Russian woman, if the watch is real. Oh yes, she assures me. A real Cold War artifact. How much? I want to say the vendor started around $150 or $200. I look again to our guide for some translation help, since the vendor doesn't speak English, and we haggle a bit, but he's not going lower than $100. I watch then as our guide and this man spoke in Russian for a minute or two, and then the guide, she turns to me and she says, he's not budging. It's a unique item. I can vouch for it. I hemmed and hawed for probably 15, 20 minutes, just walking in circles, thinking about it. It's a special family trip. This would be a special way to commemorate the trip. I'm a sucker for historical artifacts. How fun it would be to carry this timepiece in my coat pocket. I bought it. We boarded the cruise ship later that day. Next day or two, we got off at our next stop at the port in Latvia. And there on the boardwalk, located just off the ship, was a long string of vendors making up yet another marketplace. And one of the very first ones I saw had a few of these timepieces. I looked closely at the label, $30 a piece. The vendor there, he sees that I'm noticing these timepieces and immediately in broken English says, "For you, $20, two for $35." I had a fake. It looked good. It looked important. It looked shiny. The guide had lied. It was a replica you could find all over the place. In fact, I Googled it later and found plenty others around the world who have a KGB watch from Russia. The basic assumption of Isaiah 55, and really scripture as a whole, is that we're walking in this marketplace of life and we're buying up things that appear good but actually lack any real substance. They are fake. They are empty pursuits that gobble up time and money and energy. The Bible sometimes calls them idols. And so Isaiah 55 assumes we need to be called away from the vendors that normally catch our attention, our money, our time. So Isaiah 55 begins with the word ho. It's a translation of the Hebrew word oi, which could be just as easily translated, hey, listen up. It's a word from the streets. It's a word that would be used by street vendors in the marketplace trying to get your attention to come buy something. The people of Israel would have immediately recognized this word and the marketplace imagery it conjures. And this particular vendor in Isaiah 55, he's got a deal. Hey there. You're thirsty? Come to the waters. Oh, you don't have money? Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. The voice stands out in the marketplace because it's absurd. The vendor seems to be offering something that's the epitome of too good to be true, free water, wine, milk. And on top of that, it's a paradoxical invitation. What does it mean to buy at no cost? This is a different kind of invitation for the marketplace, though we do have to admit the paradox has a familiar ring. It sounds like the one who spoke of free grace that'll cost you your life, the one who spoke of losing your life to save your life, the one who spoke of a burden being light and giving rest to the weary while at the same time calling us to carry a cross, the one who said, "Blessed are the poor, the meek, the grieving, the persecuted." We've heard paradox before from a trusted voice, just not usually in a voice speaking in the common marketplace. Who is this vendor calling out such a different invitation? Perhaps the listener is tempted to just keep walking. This vendor sounds crazy. There must be a catch. We know there's no such thing as a free lunch or water or milk and wine. So the vendor shifts tactics and shows a surprising perceptivity. Why do you spend money on that which is not bread? Why do you labor for that which doesn't even satisfy? How'd that vendor know how I'm spending my money, my time, our energy? Of course, again, this is the basic assumption of the passage, that we're in this marketplace of life getting duped by that which does not truly satisfy, buying up shiny objects that don't actually have real substance and enduring value. We think a shiny career or a position, that will finally fill us. We think a shiny retirement or investment will finally settle us. We pursue the shiny image of a perfect family with all the right schools and all the right opportunities. Some of us, we yearn for the return to some other elusive golden age of the church. If we could just look like the church in the book of Acts or the church in 1962, that look, that feel. We're attracted to shiny, pithy, political slogans that look like a way forward. There are a lot of vendors out there selling a lot of shine. Where do we put our time? Where do we put our money, our energy, our anxiety? Isaiah 55 assumes we get caught up with shiny preoccupations that appear and feel quite important in the moment. And then you dock at the next port in life and you realize how empty the pursuit was. The way I look back at the ports of high school or college or my first job, and I just shake my head at what I thought mattered. Oh my gosh. But I worry, because if at every stage of my life I can look back and I could shake my head at some big things, then probably at this stage in my life I have some shiny objects I'm sure are terribly important. What about you? Okay. We turn to the vendor. Tell me about this water, this wine, this milk you're offering, this meal of substance. The vendor leans in at the opportunity. Listen to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight in the richest of fare. Give ear to me. Come to me. Listen. That your soul might live. Well, now it becomes clear. The vendor selling soul food. This is about souls made alive. And again, this voice is familiar. We turn over to Proverbs 9 in Scripture, where wisdom is personified as a woman, and she calls out to the simple, "Come, eat my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight." Well, it seems the identity of our Isaiah 55 vendor is wisdom herself. And wisdom stands at the table and offers a meal that nourishes the soul. Of course, now we probably start to connect the dots to the first hunch we had about the real identity of this vendor. Many years later, the Apostle Paul would be reflecting on wisdom in his first letter to the Corinthians, and he would write that Jesus himself was the full manifestation of the wisdom of God. And so we look back at the passage in Isaiah 55 and realize this is not just any street vendor. It's not even just wisdom generally calling forth to us. It is Jesus calling forth in the marketplace of the world. Come this way. The most basic invitation in the Christian faith, it comes from Jesus. It goes to all, especially the thirsty and the ones without money. And the invitation is to come to him, to follow him, to put him first, to learn from him, to find life in him. Like last week's back to the basic message, maybe this sounds almost too simple. And yet, truth be told, I think this is the invitation we're aching to hear again. This is the voice we are desperate to hear today. The Orlando shooting last week has weighed on all of us. It has also brought voices in this country to a fever pitch. We're standing in the marketplace of life, and there are voices on all sides of this offering a way forward, a way we should think about guns and terrorism, domestic violence, Muslim, the LGBTQ community. Shiny slogans and leaders claiming, grabbing for our ear. Now some in the mix there, they seem to be selling something substantial, something good. But then sometimes we worry we're just latching on to the latest shiny idea. It's really nothing. It's not wisdom. It's actually just hate covered in shine. I think all of us gathered here today, we want to be faithful Christians in this divided and tense and pained country of ours. We want to be the presence of Jesus in this world, in our workplace, in our schools, when we write, when we do speak up. Oh, we know the world needs Jesus. But the cacophony of voices and anger and ideas, they're all so loud and all at once. The anxieties and fears, it's palpable. And then that doesn't even count all the inner doubts, the inner critiques, the inner fears that keep clamoring inside. We're tired in a very big place full of commotion. So we turn to the vendor. Tell me more. How can I buy this meal? Water, wine, milk. How might our souls be nourished on the richest of fare? in a way that makes us glow with health. And the nations and people groups we don't even know find hope and healing in our midst. Because isn't that where Isaiah 55 goes? Other ethnic groups, nations, ethne, will come running to God's people, we read, finding healing and goodness with God's people. Because the people of God are filled with nourishing life. As the final passage of our verse puts it, they are endowed with splendor, having eaten this meal. How about that for irony? We've been chasing after shiny objects, and all this time, God's goal is to make us a people who shine in splendor that does not spoil or fade, brimming with life and word and deed, a healing to the nations. And so maybe finally, we decide to drop our empty timepieces and we cede our days to the Lord because the offer is so much more substantive here. How can I buy this meal and so shine in splendor in this dark world? Well, did you notice in our short five verses that the vendor repeats one sentiment four times? That's a lot in a little section. Listen, listen, give ear to me, listen. The main action invited by Jesus is listen. He knows how loud the marketplace is, how loud our lives are, how loud our country is, how loud the pain is, how loud the other sellers are. He knows how difficult it is to truly hear that one still small voice speaking love and truth. And so four times, listen. And in Scripture, listening is never some sort of passive hearing. Listening entails an active understanding of what is heard, so much so that then you go embody it. In fact, in Scripture, God doesn't consider you've actually heard God's word unless the word is also enacted in your life. Listen with all that you are. And if you're like me, that's why you're here in worship. You're hoping to hear that voice cutting through the marketplace crowd. And as Christians, we believe Jesus speaks most clearly through the Bible. By the power of the Holy Spirit, what we hear is Jesus speaking words of life. That's why, right, we have the prayer for illumination. Holy Spirit, may these not just be words, but in fact, your very voice, your very life, your very love. And when Jesus speaks, the words can heal, they can convict, they can guide, they can give life, they can nourish. Because they are the same voice that gave birth to creation, the same voice that conquered the power of death. So I want to end this sermon a little bit differently this morning. Because I think we know there's plenty going on in our lives, in our country, and amid the cacophony of voices vying for our attention, and then the internal voices. We just need to hear Jesus again, the wise vendor with words of life. And what I'm going to do to end this sermon is simply then read a number of scriptures. I'm going to invite you to quiet and listen and hear these scriptures and listen most fundamentally for the voice of Jesus. Let his words just wash over you like water and gladden you like wine and fortify you like milk. Now, I don't want you to lose sight of all that's going on in this world and this nation. Not at all. The guns, the violence, Muslims, Christians, LGBTQ community, our nation, Orlando, Charleston, black, white. Once these words of Jesus begin to fill you, what I want you to do then is take them and pray these scriptures over these various people groups, these various communities who are definitely on God's heart this morning. Listen. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. A voice is heard in Ramah. Mourning and great weeping. It's Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. The Lord will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. The nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. Those servants went out to the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God saw everything that he made, and indeed, it was very good. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.